Now, speaking about graduate, there was this story about a graduate. She graduated, and she worked at McDonald's after graduation because she needed to pay off her student loans. So she said she studied a degree she enjoyed, but her degree was not very, is not very marketable yet. It did not land her a job just yet. But think about that. How many among us have graduated and that we were not able to use our degree at the workplace? Was it an obscure decision for her to pursue a degree she enjoyed? For sure, she enjoyed studying it. But it offers limited employment opportunity in the job market. Was that an obscure decision? Now, this pursuit of college degrees is a major decision that students should give thorough consideration. So this is one thing that you may want if you are about to graduate in high school or still planning to go to college or even get another degree that you may want to pursue. This is one thing that you may want to pray for. Pray that God would lead you to decide on a career, a degree that He wants you to focus upon. Many students would go to college because their peers who are taking this kind of courses, and they want to be with their peers. The reason they take that is because of their peers, not because they like that course. Somebody want to go to the medical department, and they want to go. I want also to be a doctor like my friend. And later, takot pala sila sa dugo. Or parents pressure their children, you go and take this because we are all doctors. You need to be a doctor too. Mayroon pong pamilya sa Pilipinas. The father, the mother, doctor. Yung panganay, pangalawa, doctor. And you know what? Yung pangatlo, naging doctor. But luckily, the third one is, I don't know if he or she enjoyed and naging top-notcher ng board bang tawag doon? Board, medical board sa Pilipinas. Just last year. And that was a very good story because their family are family of doctors. Now, making major decision like which career path to pursue, which degree to take in college, ito po ay para kang pupunta sa isang war zone. Why? Why war zone? You need to prepare. You need to get all ideas how you would approach that. Maybe it's not physical war, but for sure, maraming estudyante nahihirapan. Why is it? Because they made the wrong decision of going to that career. They think it was very good. Oh, ito lang gusto ko ang career kasi accordingly, it pays a lot of money. Oh, I want to be in this because I want to be famous and popular and be known like this and like that. It's wrong motivation of taking courses. Although it can add to us motivation, but the best thing that should motivate each student of taking something is to glorify the Lord if you are a Christian. Because whatever God decides, it will happen. So if you are going different way, God will surely divert you to that ministry, to that career. He wants to use you to glorify His name. It says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6, let's read this together. Surely, you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. What does that mean, students? Young people, I was a young people back then, and I was very proud. When I challenge older people, they kept silent. Ang sabi sa akin, ang yabang naman yan. But because they cannot refute my argument. And for sure, I was very proud. And young people do not want to ask because they want to decide on their own. But you are going to war. So you need to ask. And, you know, the Bible says, God is against proud. Yan. Kaya ang kinakalaban natin, pag tayo nagiging proud, ang Panginoon, hindi other people. As believers, we make the major decisions or minor decisions, personal, family, or church decisions. But we must seek the Lord to help us make the right decision, if the right decisions are obscure or something like very simple decision, as long as we have that peace, we have that joy in that decision, God would bless it. Even if we pray a lot, Lord, bless my decision, bless my decision. How would God bless something that he doesn't want? We cannot twist the arm of God by praying. Yeah, but sometimes he would allow that for us to teach us lesson when we do not bend. So if we pray a lot, accept that a decision may or may not give good result instantly. Some decisions you may decide on this, oh, I think I made the wrong decision. Why? Because it doesn't produce result immediately. But believe, if you trust God, believe that He situates us, He places us in a place, in a situation where we will serve His purpose. Our purpose is to bring glory to His name. Now, the life of Joseph, it has been very interesting, enlightening, and helpful for us to know, because it illustrates that God uses even obscure decisions that people may think it's not a very good decision, but God used it for His glory. Now, remember that his brothers were envious of him because Jacob's favorite was Joseph, and his brothers hated him, and he knew that his brothers did not like him, but he still said, you know, brothers, I will be greater than you. You know what? I will be greater than you. What are you talking about? I will be greater than you. I have two dreams, you know. And lalo silang nagalit sa kanya. What they did, they planned to kill him, but eventually sold him as a slave. As if his adversities, parang ang kanyang pahirap sa kanya ay kulang, he was imprisoned for false accusation in Egypt. Now, if you were Joseph, and your brothers hate you, you know that they hate you, they do not want to be with you. Pag pupunta ka sa kanila, naglalaro ng piko, halimbawa, they don't like to take you in their team, naglalaro ng basketball, halimbawa. Even though they know that you are very good, they don't like to play with you because they hated you. And that was the life of Joseph. He was ostracized. But still, you know, I have dream. Now, think about that. The people, that siblings that hated you still want to tell them that you will become greater than them. And why not? They can see, naka-jacket ka ng magandang jacket. Sila ay galing sa Okay ang kanilang jacket. Papurma-purma ka dyan. Lalo silang magalit sa'yo, di ba? But actually, God allowed him to experience all his trials troubles as preparation for greatness. So think about that. When unpleasant events happen in school, at work, anywhere, most often people who are observed will quickly conclude that, oh, I think he made a bad decision. Kasi mali yung kanyang ginawa. People would say that. They quickly tell you that you did wrong. Now, I remember I heard it many times when I quit my university studies. My relative would say, why didn't he finish that? And then when I went to the academy, oh, that is a very wrong decision. And then I went to the seminary. Oh, bakit? Napopromote na siya, napataas na ang sweldo niya. Bakit? Very bad. But I say, those who told me those things are still in the Philippines. But we are here. I say, I made the obscure decision. Even when I presented a mission project to the church, which caused the church to terminate me. I presented a mission project. My friends who is one of the leaders back then, sabi niya sa akin, wag mong ibigay yan, Pastor, wag mong ibigay. Ayaw nila yan. Binigay ko pa rin. Makulit ako. And then later, the church leader say, okay, because you want to go to mission, in mission, we support you, but we terminate our financial support. That's it. Well, I say, hindi naman ako nag-apply na pastor. Tinik nila akong pastor when I graduated. So, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is how I took it. But of course, it was tough for us because tatlo na yung anak namin noon. And then, bigla na akong nawalan ng support. But I say, it was all for God's glory. People would look at it as, oh, that was a wrong decision, Pastor. That was a wrong decision. I say, it was for them, but for God, it was a great decision. So, God allows even bad, awkward, obscure decisions to divert events to accomplish His purposes for His glory in and through our life. Let me repeat that. God allows even bad, awkward, obscure decisions and divert events to accomplish His purposes for His glory in and through our life. Indeed, Joseph's troubles were diverted for greater good. Hirap ang buhay niya, but he became great ruler in Egypt. And he experienced the best of his life in Egypt. What was his purpose? To be an agent, an instrument of the Lord to save both the Israelites and the Egyptians. That was God's purpose for Joseph. He was an agent to save lives. In verse 22 and 23, let's read this again. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children, also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Now, Joseph's life exhibits that God uses adversities, God uses troubles to accomplish His purposes. Again, I have told you this before, but I would like to repeat this. If Joseph were not hated by his brothers, if Joseph was loved by his brothers, and he was also the favorite, for sure he stayed in Canaan, right? Would Joseph want to leave Canaan and go to Egypt when, for example, if Pharaoh say, oh, can you call Joseph from Canaan and I will make him the ruler of Egypt? If I were Joseph, I won't, because I was loved by the family. I was loved by everybody. I loved that situation. I don't want to quit that situation. And many times, you won't quit your job kung ang mga marami kang kaibigan doon sa trabaho and you've been given increase. Huwag kang mag-resign, bibigyan kita ng mas mataas na sweldo, sabihin ng boss mo. Hindi ka magre-resign, right? Hindi ka aalis dahan. But if your boss laid you off, they praise God. Why? God might be redirecting you to a place. So don't just apply for a job that you wish you want, but pray. Saan ba dito, Lord, ang gusto mo? It could be the very least job that you don't like is where God wants you to excel. When Joseph went to Egypt, he was a slave. Who would think that a slave would become the second highest ruler of Egypt? And then he was imprisoned. But who would think a prisoner would become the highest ruler of Egypt? Nobody would think about that. In Canaan, Joseph was favored by his father, but his brothers hated him. In Egypt, he was respected by all people, great and small alike. In Canaan, he was told what to do. This is what you do, Joseph, this is what you do. And his brothers did not want to be with him. And in Egypt, Joseph was a servant surrounded by officials who will readily obey these orders. When Joseph was the ruler of Egypt, the Israelites experienced the best of their life in Egypt. But after Joseph died, their situation changed very differently. Many years after Joseph died, an Egyptian king who did not know Joseph came to power and made the life of the Israelites really very terrible. And the Israelites became slaves. They prayed, and the Lord saved them by his mighty power. You know the story. They were freed from Egyptian slavery, the Israelites, later. After 400 years after Joseph died, the Lord says in Romans chapter 9, verse 15 to 21, let's read this together. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend upon human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raise you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy. He hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who has formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for his special purposes and some for common use? Now, you know about pottery. There are potteries that are like, for example, if you want to call this pottery, though it's not made out of clay, it's out of glass. But similar to that, there are potteries made for display, and there are potteries made for ordinary use. God is the potter, and we are the clay. And God formed some of us for special purposes and some for common use. Ask yourself, what pottery are you? Are you for special purposes or just for common use? Do you wish that God will use you for special purposes? It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 23, let's read this together. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. flee the evil desire of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. Do not have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Still, one may ask, what is God's special purpose for me? But before you ask that, if you are thinking about a special purpose, you need to prepare. In preparation for God's special purposes, pray and confess all known sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Ask the Lord. Lord, reveal me which sin you want me to confess. And God would reveal to you your favorite sin. And ask God, ask the Lord, forgive me of my sin, Lord. And He will forgive you and purify you from all unrighteousness. What does that mean, purify? He purifies so that you won't repeat the same sin anymore. And there will be no temptation again for you to repeat the same sin. So keep on asking. If you repeat the same sin, keep on asking, Lord, the sin is still here, it's still clinging on me. Forgive me and cleanse me, oh Lord. I don't like this anymore. And then He will free you from that. Don't stop until you sense that you have been freed from that sin. And also pray to increase, for increase of faith, so that you may increase in your obedience. You obey not to commit sin again. So that is, look at this. As your faith grows, your obedience grows. So the more that we grow in our faith, the more we grow in our obedience. We do not force ourselves to obey, to show our faith. That is not the case. It should be faith first before obedience. It's not obedience first before faith. It cannot be. So, yung sabi nga kanina, it doesn't depend on human desire or effort. It depends on God's mercy. By God's grace, God is merciful to give us, increase us in our faith. So keep on. If you hear something like, oh, narinig ko, sinabi na naman ni Pastor, lagi na lang ako pinapatamaan ni Pastor. That could be God's way of reminding you that you need to increase in your faith. The Lord knows when we are ready to obey and accomplish His purposes in us for His glory. Before that, if we don't have that enough faith to be in that situation, He won't. Even if we wish, that wish should drive us to keep on asking that we may increase in our faith. So how can we know the very purpose that God planned for us specifically? Now, you start with this. You may want to start with this. In your heart, you long to do something, but you don't know. You don't know what it is. So keep on praying. Join ministries that attract you. Why do you attend the church? Oh, I like the song. I like the fellowship. I like when they are doing something like this. I love the preaching. I love the singing. Whatever attracted you, that could be where God wants you to reveal Himself and start growing. My children and my daughter and my wife were talking about what attracted them, what helped them grow in their faith. And Maribel said that because the singing, the group, the choir, she was attracted with that, and she felt like she grew spiritually while she joined the choir. Of course, she had good voice and she is into music. But for me, the first attraction that I had was the preaching of the pastor. I was surprised that, wow, why is it that the pastor is speaking to me and he doesn't even know me? Something like that. And I was so very attentive to preaching ng pastor, and I didn't know God has been preparing me for that too. So think about that. Whichever ministry that have been attractive to you, It could be that is the ministry that God wants you to focus on to, and it could be that is the ministry where you can find God's purposes for you. God's special purpose for us cannot be done by our human effort. We need to rely upon the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So keep on. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of revelation, God give us understanding when He reveals something to us. But we need to increase in our faith. God's special purpose for Joseph was to become ruler of Egypt to save lives of the Israelites in the Egyptians from famine. Now, God allowed him to be sold as a slave and imprisoned. And as a slave, was it God's plan? Yes, it was. Joseph learned how to deal with merchants and how they traded with their business. That was why when during the abundance, he was also selling, not just selling grains, he was wise in selling grains. Now, meron po kong kakilala, yung nanay po ng aking kamag-anak. She is a retiree, nurse retiree, but she has that heart of, you know naman, ang mga nurse ay talaga namang malambot ang kanilang puso, and they can be easily persuaded. Galing siya sa outskirts, countryside, she would go to the market. Ang isang kilong bangus pa noon ay 60. Ngayon, I think magkano ang isang kilong bangus sa Pilipinas? 600? I don't know. 300? I don't know. Ang galonggong daw ay 250 na. I'm talking about fish, Glenn, so don't worry about that. You don't like fish anyway. Bibili siya ng bangus. Isang kilo, 60. Isang kilo, 80 pala. Isang kilo, 80. And then, public siya doon sa barrio, sa barangay. Tapos, ibibinta niya, 80. Eh kung ang mahal naman, auntie, sige, 60 na lang. Oh. What I'm saying is, Joseph had that wisdom he learned from traders not to be perhaps to other people they thought that Joseph was very harsh, but he was wise. Now, Joseph as a slave, he learned that, and when he was sold as a slave, but he learned also how to please his boss Potiphar, and he learned how a boss would be kung paano magiging paborito siya ng kanyang boss. And that could be the reason why his father nagiging paborito siya. Because he just knows how to please his master. And what happened? Iprinupot siya na Potiphar, he became the master of the slaves. He became the majordomo, the manager of the house of Potiphar. Why? Because Potiphar trusted him. Even as a slave, Joseph trusted God, and the Lord gave him success in his work. So think about that. Joseph was imprisoned for false accusation, but the Lord was with him and caused the warden to appoint Joseph as administrator inside the prison. Let's read this, Genesis chapter 39, verse 22 to 23. Let's read this. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now, life in prison is not very good, but I know of a person. He was formerly a police officer, but because he killed two people, and he was put in prison, Bilibid. Napunta siya sa Bilibid. And when we visited him in Bilibid prison, he told me, Pastor, you know, I'm here. I feel like I am free. Mas free ako nasa loob ng prison kaysa nung nasa outside ako. What happened to him? He became, in just 1 month, he was elected as the manager of the commissary inside the prison. He had also, of course, salary if he was the manager inside yung komisari sa inside prison. That was very amazing, and I don't know, it was not just something that I experienced or observed, but I believe God has prepared me for this day to testify that I saw somebody who was really promoted, had better life inside prison. Prison could be the worst situation. You don't like to go to prison. But Joseph accepted that it's part of God's plan for him to prepare for greater good. Do you feel like your situation is really bad right now? Oh, my situation is bad, Pastor. Now, students have struggles. Employees have struggles. Even jobless people have struggles. Even retirees have struggles. All situations have struggles. But is it worse or badder, if you would, than the life of prisoner, your situation? The Lord is with us, we say, right? Can you say that? The Lord is with me. God is with me. God is with you. We are believers. When we accepted Christ, God is with us. And like Joseph, struggles are part of God's preparation for his special purposes for each of us. Now, Joseph kept on trusting the Lord when his life was not very pleasant, and he held on to God's promise for him to become greater than his brother. Okay, let's read again verse 24. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. Have you observed that God personally promised the land of Canaan to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but not to Joseph and his brothers? God had it planned long ago that the Israelites will inherit the land of Canaan. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob believed God's promise that Canaan will be given to their descendants. They died believing that God will fulfill his promise, but they did not personally see the realization of God's promise. Joseph believed God's promise and told the Israelites to carry his bones to Canaan when God will rescue them. Now, why did Joseph say that God comes to their aid? When at that time, they were still enjoying good life, great life in Egypt. Was it a prophecy that the next generation, Israelites, will be maltreated? Well, no Israelites came to power in Egypt after Joseph died. So Joseph at the time was prophesying about the maltreatment of the Israelites. Anyway, by faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even Joseph, believed that Israel will inherit the land of Canaan eventually. Let's read this, Hebrews chapter 11 and the following verses, verse 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, Caleb in a tent, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Also, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 to 16, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Verse 14. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And in Hebrews, it continued to say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, this is about Joseph. Let's read. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction concerning the burial of his bones. Now this Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, they believed it when God promised that their descendants will inherit the land of Canaan. Similarly, can we believe the Lord even if his promise won't be completed in our lifetime? Can we keep on trusting him? God promises to take us into his heaven, but if we die before he comes, would you continue to believe? Joseph believed God's revelation that he will be greater than his brothers. He believed that. He kept on believing that God would fulfill that promise even when his life was difficult, when he was a slave, when he was in prison. He kept on believing. He became great ruler eventually. As for us, can we keep on believing that God uses adversities and troubles around us as preparation for us to accomplish his purposes for his glory? If we have doubt, keep on asking, Lord, increase my faith. Only by God's grace, through faith in Christ, that we can trust the Lord. If we have this shaky faith, ask the Lord, increase my faith. Adversities, troubles, difficulties we face, this could be God's instruments for his special purposes for us. But until we serve his purposes, listen to this carefully, until we serve his purposes, we will keep on longing on something we do not know. The highest level of achievement, you want to achieve something, if you want to attain something, the highest level of achievement that we can attain or we can reach and where we can find contentment is the special purpose that the Lord has designed for us. You may be successful financially, but you don't have contentment if it's not God's purpose. It is normal for humans to pursue careers, material, financial success, but God decides which success can satisfy our longing, not us. Oh, kung meron lang ako nito, meron lang ako niyan, meron lang ako nito, I will be satisfied. I was joking to Louis before Christmas. Oh, I would like that sitting exercise. And because he wanted to please his father, he secretly bought me one. And, Father, this is your Christmas gift. Oh, I was so happy to receive it. But, mind you, I cannot even use it every day. I thought before that I would like to use it, but I try to impress Louis that I like it. When he is there, I would exercise so that he would say, oh, ginagamit ng tatay ko ang binili ko. But the truth is, I'm forcing myself. I thought I was so happy with that. But well, it was not. And similar to other things, that is how we view. We thought I want a new computer, want a new gadget, I want a new car, but later, it's not what we want. Hindi ba nangyaring ganon? Totoo yun. We attain success when we are satisfied. We are satisfied when God gives us satisfaction in our life, which points back to the special purpose he has designed for us. Until we serve his purpose, we keep on longing for something. Success that satisfies us is the very purpose of God he designed for us. Until we accomplish the purpose of God for us, we will keep on living with longing, with yearning for something. And when everything's said and done, when it's time for us to leave this earth, what prestige shall we leave for our loved ones to talk about? In verse 26, it says, Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Did it mention that Joseph aspired to live a long life on earth? It did not say. I want to live, it did not say. Did he dream of retiring in Canaan one day? It was also not known. But God's purpose for him was to be an agent of saving lives of many people during the severe famine. That is the peak of his career, saving lives. That was recorded as the highest level of success he attained. The rest was added spice. Well, sure, he was assigned as the highest ruler in Egypt, next to Pharaoh. And anybody can occupy such position, but only Joseph was God's chosen instrument for the purpose to save lives during famine. The Egyptian recognized Joseph's accomplishment as ruler so that they treated his remains respectably according to the cultural practice, which was to embalm and place him in a coffin in Egypt. That was a show of respect to him. And Joseph exemplified also his respect for his father when he fulfilled his promise to bury Jacob in the land of Canaan. Now, the lifestyle and the achievements of Joseph, they were recorded, including his faithfulness in trusting the Lord in the midst of adversities. Experiences of Joseph exemplifies a prestige that believers may desire to have. You want that? What prestige do you wish to leave behind when your life on earth ends? Well, the book of Genesis is filled with practical illustrations of how believers may practice faith in the Lord. We learn from Noah. Noah keep on doing, keep on building. He didn't know that it would take him 100 years to build that ark. Abraham, he did not know where to go, but he kept on following the Lord. Isaac, well, there was not much story about Isaac, but it was about his respect of his father. He was just quiet one. And Jacob, he went to far country on his own to find a wife and trust the Lord that he would keep him safe, watch over him, and return him to Canaan. And it happened. And Joseph, the Lord said, you will be greater than your brothers. He kept on trusting. He was sold as a slave. He was imprisoned. But he kept on trusting the Lord, and eventually he became great. And God brought success in their life because they trusted him even in the midst of adversities. We all have adversities. Sometimes we won't see the end of our purpose in life, but for sure, the next generation, our children, our grandchildren, will recall if we have left behind a prestige worthy to be told as exemplary lifestyle of believers. The first human to practice faith in the Lord, trivia, who was the one? Who was the first person recorded in the Bible who practiced faith in the Lord? It's not Adam, it's not Eve, it's Abel. It's Abel. Now, let's read this. Let's read Genesis chapter 4, 3 to 7. We go from the beginning. We are closing and go from the beginning to recall what we have learned. Verse 3, let's read. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portion, from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. When the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Adam and Eve, they have other sons and daughters. But in this story, only Abel and Cain were mentioned. Why? Because it compares proper practice of faith, the life of Abel, and the life of Cain. It shows disrespect of God. Now, this is disrespect. Cain offered some fruit. Oh, is that respectful to God? No, it's not. Why? Some fruits, it says, of the soil. he offered to the Lord. Well, he offered, but it was disrespectful. Why? He may have presumed. Cain may have in his mind, oh, God doesn't deserve the best. He is powerful. He can just make anything he wants. He can eat fruit if he wants, the best fruit if he wants. But I would just like to offer some fruit of the land. Land, the fruit of the land. That tree he did not plant. It did not say it was his plant. It was not his tree. It did not mention there. So we can interpret that he just picked up something and just wanted to offer. Oh, this is good. He didn't even choose from the best of the best. He just wanted to pick some fruit. Oh, I would like to offer. And then his younger brother saw it. Oh, I would like also to offer something. But what he did, he chose, oh, which one is the best here? Oh, I guess this is the firstborn. Oh, I guess this is the best of the firstborn. He wanted to offer the best of the firstborn of his flock. He didn't go there and look for something, animal that he can offer. No, there were a lot of animals there. They were not wild at the time. He just can pick up something. But it says in here, Abel brought an offering fat portion from some of the firstborn of his flock. Pag sinabing firstborn, this is the best of the best in the eyes of the Lord. And wow, the Lord do not need it. But he looked at the heart of Abel, that Abel respected him so much. In contrast, Cain did not give his best. It says in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the book of faith, or the chapter that explain about faith. And let's read from verse 1 to 4, and we will see the first person that it mentioned who practiced the faith. Verse 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Okay, yun ang first. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. I heard some young people say, kung ako lang sana ang nagiging anak ng nanay at tatay ko, di ako lang the best. Ngayon, dahil ikaw ay pinanganak, tapos mas gwapo ka pa sa akin, ngayon hindi na ako mas gwapo sa nanay at tatay ko. Yan sinasabi nila. And similarly, ganito siguro nangyari kay Cain. If you were not there, Abel, if you didn't offer, God would have taken my offering as the best of the best. Because he has nothing else but my offering. Why did you offer, Abel? Why? Tapos mas maganda pa ang offering mo kaysa sa akin. But in the first place, Cain did not give his best. He disrespected the Lord. And that is how we disrespect the Lord too. We give our offering, not our best. Think about that. By faith, it is by faith we give our best, brothers and sisters. We don't force ourselves. Don't force. It's by faith, meaning it's free, it's gift, it's God's grace. So don't force yourself to be better than somebody else. Just pray, Lord, I don't want to be Cain. I want to be Abel. I want to be the best. I want to offer you my best. That's what you desire. And then help me increase my faith in you. Abel died as a result of practice of his faith in God. Joseph was maltreated, but he kept on believing God. The Lord gave them success, give him success, give Joseph success in whatever he did. There are added consequences when we practice our faith in the Lord. Our parents would not like us. Our brothers would not like us. Sisters would not like us. Other people would see it as crazy move for us. there are doubters. And doubters will be shaken. But we all need to increase in our faith. And our life on earth will eventually end. But we've got to make sure that we have accomplished the purposes of God for us personally. Shall we stand up? Bow down your head, please, and just think of yourself. Ask yourself, am I offering my life to the Lord like Abel or Cain? Now, if you sense that your offering to the Lord is not enough, if it's not the best of the best, you are giving not the best of your time to the Lord, then don't force it, brothers and sisters. Ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. I want to experience more of your grace. I want to experience the joy and peace of serving you, of trusting you. I want to know the purpose you have in my life. Just ask them. The Lord Jesus is with us. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation is with you. Just seek the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life and increase in your faith.